Okay. I'm going to skip that one. I want to go to this issue here. One of the more interesting developments for me anyway is this sort of buying of votes. There's a lot of money been thrown around. Very little to Ontario except for, say, one spot where Fantino got voted in up in Vaughan. The federal government quickly came down with a $10 million bonus for his riding. There's a hospital in the city of Vaughan there, or township. I don't know what it is. Vaughan, anyway. City north of Toronto. They have a hospital project that the federal government actually didn't give $10 million towards. They gave $10 million towards a private organization that's outside of the hospital funding organization. Hospital needs, I think, $40 million to build. And they're trying to raise the funds up in Vaughan to build that hospital. Well, the government didn't put the $10 million towards that hospital. No. They might have issues, actually, with the Ontario government. But that's another story. I'm sure the Ontario government would accept it. What they did is give the $10 million to a private organization that's on the side of the side of the hospital there. So it would be for, say, how do you call it, private medical services adjacent to the hospital? Right. This is Stephen Harper agenda at its prime. How shall I say? Yes, prime. $10 million for a private medical facility beside a hospital that hasn't even been built yet. And right after that, conservative Fantino won the election in a traditional liberal seat. This is how our government, Stephen Harper conservatives, buys votes for its, hopeful re-election campaign, right? Well, this is another one. Actually, this was March 31st, so this would have been right after the election was called. Harper moved over to, I guess he's sort of, how do you call it, patching up the vote in Newfoundland and say, Nova Scotia. This is how he did it. The Lower Churchill deserves support, according to Stephen Harper. Hydroelectric mega project called Unprecedented Opportunity. This is from March 31st. Conservative leader Stephen Harper drew a standing ovation Thursday in St. John's when he committed to a loan guarantee for the massive Lower Churchill hydroelectricity project in Labrador. Harper told a campaign rally at a downtown St. John hotel that a re-elected Conservative government will stand behind him, will stand behind the plan to generate electricity at a Muskrat Falls on the Churchill River, and then pipe the energy to Newfoundland and Nova Scotia and perhaps beyond. Quote, excuse me. Quote, this is an unprecedented opportunity, a real game changer, Harper told the crowd, while committing a re-elected Tory government to provide a loan guarantee of $6.2 billion project. A statement issued by the Conservative Party of Canada said that the government might also provide equivalent financing support, although it did not elaborate. Harper said that the support is contingent on the Lower Churchill project meeting three criteria for energy projects that will receive federal funding through the Tories: that they make economic sense, that they provide national or regional benefits, and that they substantially cut greenhouse gas emissions. We need you. We need your support, Harper told the audience, noting that Thursday marked the 62nd anniversary of Newfoundland joining the Confederation. Harper was welcomed warmly by members of the governing provincial Progressive Conservative Party, a stark contrast to the hostile reception received in 2008 when the then Premier Danny Williams waged an anything but conservative campaign that shut out the federal Tories from the province's seven seats. Only seven seats, huh? So we have that statement from Danny Williams. He has, of course, retracted that statement due to this, actually directly due to this funding announcement. This is how Danny Williams actually jerks the chain to the federal government. And it's, again, effective for his constituency in Newfoundland. This is a good example of what our premier, Dalton McGuinty should be doing. And all premieres do this across Canada, except the Ontario premier, who tends to sit on the sidelines and pick his nose, basically. Sorry, but that's my opinion. Anyway, we're going to run this piece from Danny Williams from 2 years ago. It's all true. Nothing's really changed except the Churchill River Falls support by Stephen Harper on March 31st. So he's buying the vote of the Newfoundland people. And here is Danny Williams telling it like it is and really how Canadians should keep it. Danny Williams might have changed his opinion, but he's been bought out. There you go. Danny Williams bought out. That's the way he likes it. But this is what he said, and this is what he means, and this is what Canadians should take. Nothing's really changed. Okay, I'm going to drop that again. Plunder News, we're in overtime. It's 9:40. Looks like In the Red won't be back. Who knows? Maybe they will. We're definitely open to them coming back if they want. But in the meantime, we'll definitely fill in for them. So Plunder News currently running 8:30 to 9:30 with possible overtime 9:30 to 10:30. Frequency Feminisms should be in at 10:30. Definitely will be, I'm sure. Like I said, you're listening to CKLN.fm. My name is Shannon, and this is Plunder News. We're listening to a piece here from 2008, Danny Williams, which has been bought out. Anyway. Come on, go.
Danny Williams unleashes one of his strongest attacks yet on Stephen Harper.
His own candidates and MPs admit that the promise was broken, but we should forgive and forget. Well, folks, forgiveness may be a virtue, but forgetting under these circumstances is just plain foolhardy. In the very words of Stephen Harper's own candidate in St. John's East just a year ago, and I quote him, given his handling of equalization, referring to Mr. Harper's, given his handling of equalization, who can trust the Prime Minister anyway? Here in Newfoundland and Labrador, we need to ask ourselves, is it okay for the man occupying the highest office in our country to treat a province in the Federation with such disdain? We should show him that we don't put up with that in Newfoundland and Labrador anymore. Vote anything but conservative. If Stephen Harper gets a majority government, I remind you of the words of Bachman-Turner Overdrive. You ain't seen nothing yet. Stephen Harper's ideology has been cleverly hidden and implemented quietly as much as possible in the past 5 years. And I'd encourage you, read some of his past writings. Go back 10 years, read some of the books, read some of the statements that he's made, and see where that stands with the person now and the person that was there back in the 90s. The only reason we haven't seen his full plan for Canada implemented is because he had a minority government to keep him in check. I can only say this, and I say it with all sincerity and genuine concern for our great country. A majority government for Stephen Harper would be one of the most negative political events in Canadian history. Even without a majority, he has cut funding for minorities, cut funding for literacy, cut funding to students, volunteers, museums, and arts and culture groups right across the country. His government cut funding to women's groups, and in fact, his government actually went so far as to remove the federal mandate to advance equality for women. This all happened under a minority government. What in heaven's name will happen if he gets a majority? And make no mistake, you won't hear Stephen Harper admit that he may win a majority government, because he's terrified that people might actually stop and think about the consequences of that happening. Well, I beg you and I plead with you all today, stop, think, and decide if that is what this country deserves. When we vote, I would rather that we stand on the solid ground of principles than on the shaky ground of broken promises. If you believe that the country deserves better, then you know what to do. It's as easy as A, B, C.
All right, so that's the ex-premier of Newfoundland, Danny Williams, spelling it out. It's as simple as ABC. Ew, got zapped there. ABC, anything but conservatives, please, Canada. It's the Harper agenda. I was thinking about it, but he's allied with... He's, you know, you see him in pictures there with Obama, getting along with Obama. And Obama's really just a sellout anyway. You know, he's certainly not the liberal that we thought he might be, and the reformer that we thought he might be. He certainly showed his true colors as being a walk the middle line there, compromiser, and unable to stick up to his convictions that we thought would be beneficial to our planet. And we've been sort of sold out as far as I'm concerned. But Harper's real allegiance was to George Bush. His politics are much more in line with George Bush's politics. And that's what Danny Williams is alluding to and what I would allude to. The Harper majority government is going to be a lot different than these minority governments that we've been living through. Just sort of incremental reform into the conservative agenda. Definitely pushing, trying to, you know, hog the middle ground and cover a lot of liberal territory, and i.e. the, the infrastructure projects that were put in place and caused this two-year, $100 billion deficit, federal spending infrastructure project. Definitely a liberal type policy. And, you know, the majority of his policy is this federal spending project, infrastructure, whatever it is, stimulus, there is, that's the word. So we're, Harper's really a Bushite. And if Harper gets a majority, that's what we should be expecting. Things like anti-abortion legislation, fundamentalists, a lot more of this. Sorry, I'm losing my point of view here, but I think I just sort of made the point. The next issue for me, as I kind of run down through them, this one's going back a bit. A lot of people, it hasn't even come up actually as an issue, but to me it was it's a big one. Omar Khadr. Amid claims of abuse and a clear violation of habeas corpus being a prime legal tenet of our democratic society, dating back to like 1066 AD and England, and sort of the birth of England actually. Sort of its beginning of its move out of the Dark Ages. Habeas corpus being a fundamental document of our democratic society we live in the West here. Anyway, amid the claims of abuse and the clear violation of habeas corpus, Omar Khadr, a child soldier, pleaded guilty in a plea bargain with the hopes of returning to Canada in 1 year after 7 years of time served in the Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Harper was the only Western leader not to have its citizens returned from Guantanamo. In 2007, so I'm going to run through a little bit of the history here. I'm going to try and do it quick. In 2007, the Federal Court of Appeal ordered the Canadian government to turn over its records related to Khadr's time in captivity. In 2008, Judge Richard Mosley stated it was apparent that Canada had violated international law, contravening Section 7 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The government appealed, citing national security. In 2009, the Federal Court of Canada ruled once again that Khadr's rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedom had been violated. They concluded that Canada had a duty to protect Khadr and ordered the Canadian government to request that the U.S. return him to Canada as soon as possible. In August 2009, the Federal Court of Appeal upheld the decision in a 2-1 ruling. Finally, in January 2010, a unanimous 9-1 decision from the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that participation of Canadian officials in Carrar's interrogations at Guantanamo clearly violated his rights under the Charter. In its sharply worded decision, the Supreme Court referred to the denial of Carter's legal rights as well as to the use of sleep deprivation techniques to soften him up for interrogation. I don't know if you've seen this, but on the internet there is a clip regarding Omar Carter and his interrogation. And this clip is actually, I don't know, somehow, I believe it's somehow related to the Canadian interrogation of Carter. They basically went in there and under the disguise of being Canadian and diplomatic, kind of extracted more information from him than he had been previously given. And there's a scene where Omar Carter basically breaks down and he's crying and he wants to be killed. It's really sad, and I don't actually recommend people go see this. It's sort of horrendous footage, but it's out there, and this is what the federal government or what the Supreme Court of Canada is looking at, and this is the type of activity that the federal government conspired in Guantanamo. It's very sad. So to go on with this article now. The deprivation of Carter's right to liberty and security of person is not in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice. The interrogation of a youth detained without access to counsel to elicit statements about serious criminal charges while knowing that the youth had been subject to sleep deprivation and while knowing that the fruits of the interrogation would be shared with the prosecutors offends the most basic Canadian standards about the treatment of a detained youth suspect. Now Omar Khadr's lawyers are attacking the qualifications of the Pentagon's star witness and claiming that the forensic psychiatrist was improperly shielded from criticism as part of the final appeal for clemency for the Toronto-born detainee. A 40-page motion by Khadr's lawyers argued that testimony from Dr. Michael Wellner was unscientific and designed solely to inflame and mislead the jury. Well, what else can you expect from this show trial? And Harper's implicit involvement in this case of abuse and violation of habeas corpus is for him to be prime minister and to be implicit in this. I'm sorry. It makes me want to be sick. Harper has to go. All right, I'm going to drop another clip. I need to take a break. All right, I want to move on to this issue. I did this next, the last part of this program up until 10:30 is going to be covering the conservative agenda, and we're looking down at the states now. We're going to focus on the states because this is where it's comes from. Harper's a Bushite, and these Bushites basically pushed back into control of one of the political bodies due to the recent by-elections, or was it the election in January, a lot of conservatives were back in and they took control of not the Senate, the Congress in the United States. And a lot of governors turned into conservatives with this recent election in January, i.e. Wisconsin, Illinois, and others. But right now, Dennis Kucinich is a Democratic congressman, and he's actually in a hearing here regarding Scott Walker. And Dennis Kucinich is putting down some evidence against Scott Walker. Scott Walker's in this room at the same time. There's some good footage on this. You can search it on Skewered by Dennis Kucinich. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Yeah, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, Skewered by Dennis Kucinich. If you want to see it, actually, I will post this with my YouTube. Posting will be up in the next 24 to 48 hours with this video in it. You can check it out under Plunder News, or you could just go directly to the actual piece on the Skewered is the word. Governor Scott Walker is Skewered by Dennis Kucinich. We're going to run this quick as a few minutes, and then we'll be back on Plunder News 88.1. No, sorry. Plunder News on CKLN.fm. Broadcasting out of Ryerson Student Center. And my name is Shannon. We're dealing with the Canadian election. And right now we're focusing on the conservative agenda. Conservative slash Republican agenda coming. This is where it's all leading, in my opinion. If we get a Harper majority, in 10 to 20 years, we'll be looking at things like this.
Ohio, Dennis Kucinich for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Governor Walker, you said the union leaders agreed to the financial cuts, but then you blamed the local unions for not following through on these pledges. That's because you refused to drop your demand to strip workers of collective bargaining rights that had nothing to do with the budget, and refused to negotiate and rejected the union's offer. Now, Governor Walker, if the unions in Wisconsin agreed to the financial cuts you sought, I don't understand how this can continue to be characterized as a debate about state budget deficits. This is supposed to be a hearing about state municipal debt. I don't understand how repealing collective bargaining rights for public workers shows us anything about state debt. Let me ask you about some of the specific provisions in your proposal to strip collective bargaining rights. First, your proposal would require unions to hold annual votes to continue representing their own members. Can you please explain to me and members of this committee how much money this provision saves for your state budget?
That and a number of other provisions we put in, because if you're going to ask, if you're going to put in place a change like that, we wanted to make sure that we protected the workers of our state so that they had a right to know what kind of value they got out. It's the same reason we gave workers the right to choose, which is a fundamental American right, the right to choose whether or not they want to be a part of a union and whether or not they went up to $1,000.
How much money does it save, Governor? Just
that particular part doesn't save any.
Okay, that's right.
In the same way that if you read the federal budget,
that's the point. It obviously has no effect whatsoever.
I'll answer your question.
I'm reclaiming my time. It obviously had no effect whatsoever on the state budget. I want to ask about another one of your proposals. Under your plan, you would prohibit employees from paying union member dues from their paychecks. How much money would this provision save your state budget?
It would save employees up to $1,000 per year they could use to pay for their pension and their health care contributions.
Governor, it wouldn't save anything. There are minor administrative costs, if any. It's obvious what the real intent is here.
And it's to give workers a right. It's to give the workers the right to choose.
I'll back it up, Mr. Chairman, right here from the state of Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau. This is a nonpartisan state budget agency, much like the Congressional Budget Office. The Bureau was asked to identify provisions in the governor's bill that are non-fiscal policy items that have no state fiscal effect. This letter confirms the obvious, that Governor Walker's effort to repeal the rights of state workers is a non-fiscal policy item. No effect on the state budget shortfall. I ask unanimous consent that this letter be included in the record.
Reserving the right, we'll inspect it and plan to include it in the record.
That's unusual. You would reserve the right to object.
The gentleman will suspend. Hold the time. We fully expect to include it in the record. Because it's not a publication that is widely distributed, we simply would like to receive it, and as soon as it's been quickly vetted during this hearing, it'll be accepted. That's a consistent policy from both sides.
I'd like to respond. In the 14 years that I've been on this committee, I've never had a chairman reserve the right to object to putting an official document in the record that was central to the purpose of this hearing, determining whether or not you stripping collective bargaining rights, Governor, is a financial issue or not. It's not. It's a political issue. That's what I'm proving.
The gentleman is incorrect. Chairman Waxman did it repeatedly. In most cases, just as here, by the end of the hearing, items which were not part of widely distributed documents were accepted. I expect to do the same, and I would work with the gentleman to get it done before the end of the hearing. The gentleman may continue.
Well, I've just made it a matter of public record anyway. The title of this hearing is Choice or Necessity. I think that what we've been able to demonstrate here is that the attack on collective bargaining rights is a choice, not a budget issue. There are budget issues as well that need to be addressed in Wisconsin. For example, according to the National Nurses United and U.S. states facing a budget shortfall, revenues from corporate taxes have declined $2.5 billion in the last year. In Wisconsin, two-thirds of corporations pay no taxes, and the share of state revenue from corporate taxes has fallen by half since 1981. That's published in The Nation by John Nickel. I won't ask to submit it by unanimous consent. And also, in the Real News Network, they have a report here that points out that the short budget, the budget shortfall of $137 million in Wisconsin could have been covered if the state had just kept going its state-legislated estate taxes, which they let expire after 2008. Also points out that if they had gone on to collect the estate taxes from their wealthiest citizens, they could have paid down the debt. Now, I just want to say in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, that we really are here at the center of a great debate over the purpose of government, whether there is such a thing as a public sphere with public servants who perform duties on behalf of the public using resources that belong to the public, or is government going to be auctioned off to the highest bidder, to corporations who privatize and inevitably drive up the cost of government, drive up the cost of services, drive up taxes. That's where this debate is headed nationally. I think that Governor Walker has inadvertently done a public service by exposing the extent to which this mindset of privatizing what is the public sphere, bringing this issue to the forefront. So thank you for being here, both governors.
I guess that's a thank you. The chair now recognizes.
All right, there you go. Big reason to vote NDP this current election cycle in Canada. Attacking the conservative, or I should say Republican attack on the fundamental right of workers to organize. This crazy Scott Walker in Wisconsin there, thinking he's giving rights workers the right to choose whether the collective bargaining right. Basically, Scott Walker was there trying to cause labor unions in Wisconsin to have to every year sign up all their union workers every year and extract the funds, not through, say, payroll deduction, but actually get the funds paid by the worker directly to the union, cutting out the sort of the union dues that was previously taken off the workers' check. Workers don't have they work in a unionized shop and they have to pay the dues, and there's not a lot of discussion on it. The union's in, the union gets paid, and the union represents the workers, and this is how it's worked for the last 50 to 100 years. But this Scott Walker wanted to fundamentally change it. Anyway, Kucinich there was skewering him. There's really no savings to government. Government can get the money elsewhere. Anyway, that's a big reason to vote NDP. See, Harper is not after the workers per se. He's not after collective bargaining rights per se. Certainly not one of his issues, don't think. But Harper isn't interested in that right now. Harper right now, what Harper wants to do with his federal government, hopefully majority, right, is remove the Liberal Party of Canada. He wants to remove the opposition, fundamentally damage it to the point where this conservative / Republican agenda can be put in place. So it might not be 5 or 10 years from now, or maybe it will. Maybe it'll be 10 or 15 years from now that, with the death of, say, the Liberal Party through, say, the federal party subsidy. This is the part that Harper would like to kill, and it did come up previously with the majority. I'm sure Harper will kill this federal funding federal funding subsidy, or at least alter it to the point where it won't be the same. The federal party, funding subsidy is approximately, works like this, approximately $2 per vote goes to the party that gets the vote. So if you receive 2 million votes, you get $4 million from the federal government for your party to keep it going between elections. This is how our federal funding of political parties works these days, courtesy of Jean Chrétien and the some of the difficulties he had with the money problems that he experienced. He put this policy in place, and it's actually a very fair system for, you know, small people. It might not be what corporations want. Corporations would like to fund these parties directly and have them support their corporate agendas, but that's not allowed. And the party, the funding of federal parties is done through the votes received in the previous election. And you need to have one elected member in parliament to actually receive the funding. So the Greens were shut out. And that's why Elizabeth May really needs to win her riding. Anyway, I did discuss that earlier. Please check out your strategic voting. Strategic voting websites. There's a number of them. You can actually get a vote to the Green Party in Elizabeth May's riding in exchange for voting for a party other than Green. Anyway, I don't have that. I got to move on here. I just covered that earlier. You're going to have to check out my show. It's posted on radioforall.net, and it's also going to be posted on YouTube. 24 hours for radioforall.net, 48 hours for the YouTube posting. Check out this show. Approximately 45 minutes into, I went into strategic voting strategies. You should check it out. Right now, I'm covering some of the Republican things going down in the states, and to me, this is what would be coming our way in the 10 to 15 years once Harper, say, he receives a majority and he puts the Liberal Party out of business. This is kind of strategic parties. This is the kind of issues we'll be dealing with. I want to jump into this one here. Michigan now. So those are issues in Wisconsin. Now Michigan's having issues. We're going to drop some of that. We'll be right back on Plunder News. CKLN.FM. My name is Shannon. And this is from Real News.
Thousands of people have participated in ongoing demonstrations across the state of Michigan in opposition to a number of legal provisions pushed forward by Republican Governor Rick Snyder and the Republican-controlled state legislature. A protest held at the state capitol in Lansing on Wednesday, April 13, is reported to have drawn as many as 5,000 demonstrators from all over the state, while additional mobilizations have been held in areas such as Detroit and Flint. Organized labor has played a critical role in the demonstrations, with union members coordinating many of the actions. A slew of recent legislation sponsored by Snyder and state Republicans has sparked public outcry in Michigan over a range of issues, including attacks on the rights of public sector workers and unions, deep spending cuts and privatization proposals for the public education system, the introduction of an anti-immigration profiling law similar to Arizona's SB 1070, proposals to tax pensions and eliminate earned income and other tax credits for working families, raising individual taxes that disproportionately affect low-income earners while slashing the taxes corporations pay by 86%, and the enactment of a law greatly expanding the governor's emergency management powers. Former UAW local president Frank Hammer says this is part of an emergent national strategy spearheaded by right-wing think tanks and corporate dollars.
The rest of the country is suffering from what's called the Great Recession. We here in Michigan know it as a depression. We have had the most unemployment for most of this period of time in the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan is the only state that's actually lost population. We have been devastated, and we now have the double whammo with the Republicans sweeping the elections in 2010. in this state, in the person of Governor Snyder, in the state legislature being dominated by Republicans in both the House and the Senate, and even in the Supreme Court, so that we have now had a perfect sort of storm where the state's been devastated and we have the Republicans in absolute majority with no interference by any sizable Democratic opposition. So as has we've already seen in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Ohio and other states, they're beginning to implement what appears to be a national strategy that's being done in every state, whereby the corporations, through their contributions to something called the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a national organization that is supporting right-wing think tanks in, I think, about 46 states, who are feeding these states model types of legislation that contribute to four objectives of this American Legislative Exchange Council, also known as ALEC, which includes privatization, which includes elimination of regulations on corporations, includes the elimination of pollution controls on corporations.
Groups in Michigan have initiated an effort to recall Governor Snyder, mirroring some of the recall strategies organized in neighboring states like Wisconsin and Ohio. With more than 700 bills targeting public sector unions already introduced across the country, it appears that organized opposition to Republican policies like those in Michigan will continue as the national struggle over who will pay for the financial crisis rages on. This is David Doherty with the Real News Network.
All right, so there you go. Report coming out of... Michigan, right? Yeah. Sorry. You're listening to Plunder News on CKLN.FM. My name is Shannon, and we're basically covering Canadian election issues, and we've been doing that since 8:30 this morning. Please check out my posts on at radioforall.net and at the YouTube, 24 hours for the Radio for All and 48 hours for the YouTube posting of this show and last week's show as well. We've been dealing with in-depth issues on the Canadian election, and that's federal, of course. Right now, we're sort of in the dying minutes, and I'm sort of conjecturing here on the Republican, or I should say conservative slash Republican agenda in North America to strip workers of their rights and put in a police-based, police state, corporate state kind of system with corporate control, tax burden on the poor, working class people, basic austerity measures coming down. You watch, you know, right now Canada's in a nice economic position, but it just appears to me that this Harper regime is about creating a debt so big for Canada that eventually they will have to turn around and put in the austerity measures that are definitely being put in place in the states right now due to the Republican advantage, as they take advantage of their political situation down there. Hasn't happened in Canada yet, but it will if we get this Harper majority. So I'm just putting out these pieces here as kind of a conjecture of what could happen if we get this majority. Please consider your strategic voting alternatives. Check out things like projectdemocracy.ca, and there are others to find out how to vote for the ABCs, anything but conservative. All right, you're listening to Plunder News. My name is Shannon C. Killen. Right now, I'm going to look at, what are we looking at? 20 odd minutes. Yeah, I'm just playing pieces here that I think are pertinent to this anything but conservative that I'm pushing right now. Yeah, we're going to drop this one. It's called Class War and Predatory Capitalism, featuring Connell West. And it's a pink as a 5-minute piece. We'll be right back after that. Like I said, you can actually reach me at Plunder News at plundernews@bell.net. Yeah. And I believe our phone number, they do have 5 minutes. I think it's 595-1655 is the phone number down here. You can also reach me by email at plundernews@bell.net, and you can also find this show and previous show posted at radioforall.net and on YouTube. I'm going to run this piece here, and we'll be right back. Plunder News.
The Civil War was fought over slavery and secession, and it left over 625,000 Americans dead, more than the First and Second World Wars combined. 150 years later, a provocative Time magazine cover shows President Lincoln shedding a tear and wonders why we are still fighting that war. Just last week on this very program, Reverend Jesse Jackson compared the budget fight in Washington to the Civil War watch.
This really is a civil war fight. This is making the federal government dysfunctional on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. I mean, these guys will support three wars. They will support tax dodges. They will support the wealthiest Americans getting tax breaks. And they want to cut into education, health care. This is an ideological battle.
Dr. Cornell West is a professor at Princeton University, author, and co-host of the Smiley and West radio program, and he joins us now live from Princeton. Sir, it's good to see you again.
Oh, it's a blessing to be on your show, Tiffany.
Dr. West, do you agree with Reverend Jackson? Also, California Governor Jerry Brown has said that this country is more divided now than at any time since the Civil War.
Well, it's certainly divided. I wouldn't call it a civil war. I think we have a class war. I think Wall Street oligarchs and corporate plutocrats, the very, very wealthy, the rich, and the very powerful, are using Republican Party and, unfortunately, even Tea Party brothers and sisters to actually escalate a war against the poor and working class of all colors. Now, it disproportionately affects our red brothers and sisters on reservations, our brown brothers and sisters in barrios, and black brothers and sisters in black communities. But it's more a class war than a civil war, and it really has to do with organized greed at the top and disorganized poor and working people on the bottom.
Dr. West, I want to have you react to this passage from the Time magazine story comparing the attitudes then to the attitudes today. It says, quote, "What energy exists in the modern version comes from libertarians who view the union cause as a fearsome example of authoritarian central government crushing individual dissent. Slave owners make odd libertarian heroes, but by keeping the focus narrowly on big government, this school uses the secession cause to dramatize issues of today." Do you agree with that?
Well, elements of it, because I do have libertarian commitments to rights and liberties for all, no matter what. So I am highly suspicious of big government becoming big brother. But we're in a situation now where we have a predatory capitalism, a jungle capitalism, where you have big banks and big corporations who have corrupted big business. And so you get populist responses, sometimes right-wing populist responses like the Tea Party, and more leftist and progressive populist responses like the kind of thing that I would like to see in that we see in Madison, Wisconsin, for example. I wish we had more of that, where we actually call for the accountability of Wall Street oligarchs and corporate plutocrats who have greed running amok with no serious accountability to everyday people.
And the serious issues, I liked the phrasing that you said, the organized greed at the top. When you watch what's been going on in Washington, D.C., the fret over getting this budget in the 11th hour, what's your take on all of that? I mean, the drama that goes on in D.C. and how it plays out and affects real everyday Americans.
I tell you, brother, it makes me want to listen to Mahalia Jackson and a little Curtis Mayfield and Stephen Sondheim, man. We need song in order to deal with the absurdity. We need music in the arts in order to deal with the levels of hypocrisy and mendacity. But then we have to re-engage ourselves and say we're going to tell the truth, especially highlighting the plight of poor and working people of all colors. And we're going to expose the lies, which have to do with a mean-spirited Republican Party, far right, and a more and more spineless Democratic Party that's central right. And we need progressive voices that are concerned with poor and working people. We have to organize, we have to mobilize, and realize that there's rich tradition behind us.
Dr. Cornel West, sir, it's great to have you on again. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You stay strong, my brother.
Where's my mic? Listening to Plunder News. It's 10:18. Frequency Phantomisms should be up in the next 12 to 14 minutes. Please stay tuned for Murphy Brown and the crew. My name is Shannon, and you're listening to Plunder News. We're just right now trying to expose the conservative corporate / Republican agenda down in the States. They're a little more advanced, further into the austerity measures plan implementation than we are up in Canada. Harper's agenda right now is to basically put the Liberal Party out of business, and he will be doing that if he gets his majority through the federal party's subsidy cancellation, or how do you say, massacre of that. And probably one of the first thing he does right after he gets his budget through. I can't see him putting it in the budget. Well, if he has the majority, he'll just put it in the budget, and then that'll be the end of it. And then he can try and flush out the Liberals and the NDP, creating a I've been to that. Do check out my post at radioforall.net, and within 24 hours I'll also be posting up within YouTube with video, and that'll be under Plunder News. Okay, so with Jack Layton surging in the polls in Canada, this is a good opportunity to vote NDP. Canadians can see it coming. Predatory capitalism and the attack on workers' rights, i.e. a good example would be the G20, although that wasn't workers, that was just people they were kettling there. 1,000 people arrested in less than 72 hours. The coming of the police state. The Liberals aren't going to do it. They're too in bed with the corporations, but the NDP will be there to protect workers' rights, and Canadians need to see it coming. Step up and do the right thing. All right, just going to drop one more piece here. This is going to be a quick one, and then I'll be back to sign off on Plunder News 88.1 FM. This is Jesse Ventura talking about Bradley Manning, WikiLeaks, a couple other issues, and basically hitting the nail on the head, as I like to say. Plunder News 88.1 FM. Plunder News, CKLN.FM.
WikiLeaks' release of classified information has generated a lot of attention worldwide in the past few weeks. The hysterical reaction makes one wonder if this is not an example of killing the messenger for the bad news. Exactly.
That was Congressman Ron Paul talking about WikiLeaks. I'm back now with my guest, Jesse Ventura. Jesse, you said exactly, so you agree with Ron Paul, didn't you?
Absolutely. In fact, if you'd have continued with that statement, Representative Paul, as you know, I dedicated this book to him. He's the only one there that has the courage that'll stand up. Well, let's go to this young man that's in prison right now.
Bradley Manning.
Mm-hmm. I hope they're giving him his rights, which I don't think they are. Mm-hmm. They're holding him. He can't talk to a lawyer.
On that, knows? I agree
All
with
right.
you.
All right. Bradley Manning, rights. The first thing he released was that helicopter murdering those people, murdering them. Mm-hmm. So now Bradley Manning's in jail, but the helicopter murderers are still free. They're fine. Currently, our government every year declares 16 million things top secret. Mm-hmm. 16 million. Mm-hmm. I would say that's about everything. What you're at here is a classic example of killing the messenger, not the message. If it wasn't written in the first place, there'd be no message, would there? So somebody wrote it to begin with. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't they be the ones who have put America in danger?
It was
the ones who wrote it?
No. If the CIA discovered tomorrow that they knew where Osama bin Laden was, that he should be assassinated?
No.
What about Gaddafi?
No.
You don't care?
No. I think they should be arrested and tried in a court of law. Since when what are we, in the Wild West? We just go out and if people we don't like, we kill them?
Yeah, one of Harper's is AIDS was caught basically putting death threats down for Julian Assange there, leader of WikiLeaks. And that's, yeah, what are we living in? The Wild West? No. All right, this is Shannon signing off for Plunder News. Currently filling in for in the red or in overtime, maybe. Possibly back into our second hour. Covering the Canadian election up here north of the border. Just the last 45 minutes or so, I've been trying to expose the conservative slash Republican agenda. It's in full force down in the States. It's coming to Canada. If we get this Harper majority, after the Harper majority puts the Liberals and possibly the NDP out of business, destabilizing the opposition to the point where they can just sort of run rampant with their implementation of austerity policies, police state, corporate control. This is what will lead to events like that. You know, we have events like, say, Bradley Manning. Our Bradley Manning would be Omar Khadr in Guantanamo Bay for 7 years without trial, in violation of habeas corpus and such. All right. You can check out postings of this program and links to all the things I covered here, including the newspaper articles and the videos, YouTube videos that I did play right there and previously. You can also see it. I'll be putting up the bits or in chunks, I guess, of this program with the videos embedded into them, so you can catch it all under Plunder News at Plunder News at YouTube. Previous show is up from last week. It's all Canadian election as well, so I covered about 20-30 odd major issues that have been avoided by our politicians as they sort of basically run on the personal their own personality kind of election thing. Anyway, you know what I mean, they don't cover the issues, they just sort of present themselves as being a good strong leader and seem to be running on personality alone, absent all the issues. Of course, there are issues. They are buried in there. The NDP representing their NDP kind of agenda, workers-based, union-based kind of policies, Liberals with their more liberal-based policies, and the Conservatives with their Republican hidden agenda policies, i.e. fundamentalism, anti-abortion, etc., etc. So, do be aware, election is coming up within 8 days in Canada, and you need to find your strategic voting alternative, anything ABC, anything but conservative. There's a number of strategies out there. Please consult the internet to make sure your vote is effective in keeping the potential majority conservative government out of office. All right, till next week, I'm going to sign off, play a little music, and Frequency Phantoms should be taking over. We'll be back next week from 8:30 till 9:30 at least, possibly overtime, 9:30 to 10:30. Plunder News, Shannon Reiner. Canadian elections, plenty of issues there. Do check me out on Radio for All and YouTube. All right, where's my, here it is. Come on, play. We'll be right back.
tell you a video. Brilliant. Let's show it where it is. Go! All right, the sound you need is this. Yes. The rest is up to you.
Yes.
Feet up the steps. Yes. You're going first?
Yes.
All right, thought you would be. Charles, yes. Give him a little wave before you go. It's only friendly. 2 minutes. Yes. High five after three tags on your marks. Get set. Go!
Yes.